last time I did an Oklahoma drill was in high school, and I tried to kill the kid that I was across from, and he just stepped out of the way. and I went flying. And that was the last time I did Oklahoma drill.
Welcome to Highly Questionable. That's Dominique Foxworth. That's Mina Kimes. Let's reenact that, but metaphorically on television.
Should the Utah Jazz feel disrespected by the All-Star Draft?
So 2 days ago, Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, the stars of the best team in the NBA by record right now, they kind of alleged this lizard people level conspiracy about how referees are against the Utah Jazz, when really the real conspiracy, of course, is that nobody wants to give credit to Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. But hey, that's a different story. So last night, these two guys did something that kind of made me actually understand where they're coming from.
All right, let me get Donovan Mitchell.
The 27-8 Utah Jazz, as we
that is the second to last pick
by those two players
of the All-Star
Donovan
draft.
Mitchell goes to Team Durant, and Rudy Gobert goes to Team
LeBron.
Slander. There's no slander to the Utah Jazz, but you guys got to understand, just like in video games growing up, we never played with Utah. Even as great as Karl Malone and John Stockton were, we would have never picked those guys in video games. Never.
I love that event. It's just designed to get players to laugh at other players, and in this case, they were laughing at a guy who wasn't actually drafted. They just gave Rudy Gobert to LeBron.
Yes.
And LeBron's right, by the way. When I played NBA Jam, I spent more time like putting in the code to activate Bill Clinton than ever actually choosing the Utah Jazz. So he has a point.
I mean, I guess he's right about that, but it doesn't apply in this situation. Like, this draft is personal. And for that reason, they should not be offended, I guess, because Kevin Durant, with his first pick, picked up Kyrie. His first pick of the reserves, he picked up James Harden. Like, it's obviously about relationships. I don't think it's a surprise to either of those guys. They already knew they weren't best friends with them. So, like, all I really want to do is skip the nonsense and get straight to it. So, Pablo, who you got? I mean, you got the draft of the set right now, and you got to pick.
This is a hard.
Wait, what? Between you and me?
He's in the middle square.
I'm clearly the all-star captain here.
Either you're racist or you're sexist.
You know what, Mina? You give your answer so I can have a pretense to hide my bigotry.
I'm just going to answer the question, which was, should the Utah Jazz feel disrespected? Yes, but also they should be thrilled because all of the pieces are in place for a postseason run fueled by spite. Think about it. One, they're the best team in the NBA and nobody acts like it, including all of us. You could hear Pablo's disdain when he described them as such. Two, they seem to be convinced that the refs are against them. Three, have you seen Vernon Maxwell's tweets about how the entire state of Utah doesn't have internet? They are hilarious. Four, now you've got this all-star disrespect where Rudy Gobert is reduced to the kid who gets picked by default in dodgeball, is left there standing alone in the gym. All that's missing is for the media to pick them to lose to, like, Portland in the first round. And then the disrespect will be complete. And that's all it takes. Like, that is honestly a key factor that would have me picking in their favor, except I'll probably pick Portland, too.
I do love that the other side effect of this run of spite is that Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, who once hated each other because Rudy Gobert was, you know, spreading the coronavirus to everybody else, including allegedly Donovan Mitchell, they are now united by the poetic fact that no one else wants to touch them.
All right, Pablo, if I let you off the hook for the question where you decide between us two, you have to answer another question for me.
What is happening?
He took control. That's what's happening.
The other question, I'll give you the opportunity, is what does it feel like to be Rudy Gobert in a situation? Like, I have no idea. Mina clearly has no idea. But for some reason, I believe that you might know what it's like to be the last dude on the playground.
Yeah, I pick Mina.
I'm Donovan Mitchell in this metaphor of where we're united by hatred. You're Gobert, I'm Mitchell. I just want to be clear. I'm Donovan Mitchell.
What do you make of the allegations against Les Miles?
they feel serious and worth detailing here, because LSU had this internal investigation that came out in 2013 internally, only hearing about it this week now after USA Today and other outlets have been sort of chasing the details on this for a while. But in 2012, it turns out, according to the report, Les Miles, the national championship winning head coach of the LSU Tigers, decided to take a more active role in selecting, interviewing, mentoring female student employees whose job, pretty implicitly but also explicitly, is to attract recruits. So Les Miles had a type. He wanted them to be attractive and fit and blonde. And it turns out, per two of these students, that he wanted to have associations with them that they felt were wildly inappropriate. For instance, one of the students says that Les Miles drove her around in his car under the guise of networking and mentorship advice. She says that Les Miles kissed her. Les Miles denies that part, but there's another student also who talks about how Les Miles did something along similar lines under the guise of networking and mentorship. And Les Miles, of course, is saying that this report actually vindicates him because no sexual relations were had. But these two students complained to LSU, and now we have a window into the power dynamic of a head coach and his fiefdom at a college campus that very much values his employment. And it turns out that what he's doing should raise lots of questions about how his employment at Kansas will continue and how many other people across college football are doing this in the first place.
To me, this story is about the schools. It's about Les Miles, who is a creep. I feel pretty comfortable saying that. But when you really lay out the timeline and consider what happened and then what happened next, it becomes about the institutions that protected him. I mean, we've got a guy who's the highest paid employee in the state of Louisiana, and now Kansas, where he's a coach, who is being credibly accused of harassing female students, who admits to having inappropriate contact, though he disputes the kissing part, so much so that in 2013, after this report comes out, LSU says, hey, you cannot be alone with female student workers. I just want to let that sit. The highest paid, most prominent employee in a public education system was told, you can't be alone with female students. And then the school not only continued with him as the coach, but tried to hide the findings. They're still trying to keep this stuff from coming out. That is insane. That is preposterous. Like, I know we're all inured to college football shenanigans, and there's an assumption that this stuff happens all the time, and we write it off as being part of the sport, and it makes us all feel kind of icky, but we really shouldn't write this off, because the things I just said are completely unacceptable.
Yeah, this is one of the many things, I think, about college sports that make us feel icky, but the overlap between the ickiness of, like, the institution of college sports and the exploitation of the players in the way that they are using these young women, who they also ironically pay to attract these men, I think is so uncomfortable in the way that we look at this concept. And I think it's very, it fits in very well with our culture by and large. And I think that obviously the way that they're looking to protect Les Miles in this situation, they've always looked to protect these coaches who win in this situation, speaks a lot to the things that we prioritize and we care about. And I suspect that at some point, Les Miles may lose his job at Kansas, and we're all going to pretend like it's because Kansas took some moral high ground. No, Les Miles went 0-9 last year. If Les Miles took them to 12-0 and was in a national championship, they would still find a way to justify it and protect him. I was a high school recruit at one point, and I remember going to all the schools and going on all the visits and them having these young students come up to me and like be kind of nice and be kind of flirtatious. And the way that they were using them, I remember a coach saying to me at that time that, you really like the furniture, don't you? Like suggesting that he was talking about the young ladies who were working in the building. So, I mean, it's not something that's new to this. Maybe I would hope that things have gotten better, but this suggests that they haven't.
Should the Cardinals trade Kyler Murray for Deshaun Watson?
I have no idea if this is actually a thing that will really even happen within a universe of possibilities, but I do know that it's hilarious because DeAndre Hopkins goes from the Texans to the Cardinals. Obviously, this month, J.J. Watt goes from the Texans to the Cardinals. And so what's the next logical step? Let's get Deshaun Watson to join us over in Arizona, even though we have this quarterback who is a Pro Bowl level young prospect who is excellent. And so, look, if you're seriously considering this and you're the Arizona Cardinals, there are so many considerations that are important to you about building trust with your employees and your fan base. I don't care about any of that. I want this to happen because it would be ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I guess since I do not care about this franchise in any way other than they give us stuff to talk about, that would be exciting, but it doesn't really make sense to me. I understand that you are upgrading at quarterback with Deshaun Watson, but also the people who will be making the decision, Steve Keim and maybe head coach Cliff Kingsbury, like they attach all of their hopes and expectations and aspirations to Kyler Murray. It doesn't make sense for them to now switch to Deshaun Watson. If the Bidwells want to move on from Kyler Murray, I suspect they also want to move on from Cliff Kingsbury and Steve Keim. So it doesn't make sense to me for the people who are making a decision to make the decision, but it makes sense to me if you want to upgrade at quarterback and give me and Pablo something to laugh at.
You guys are talking about trust and the organization, their ties to Murray. I'm old enough to remember when this front office tweeted, Josh is our guy, about Josh Rosen, then went out and drafted Kyler Murray. Like, this would suck for Kyler, but Kyler, you are the second wife. Man, like, once a cheater, always a cheater. I do it if I'm Arizona. This is an upgrade at quarterback, like Pablo said. You got Hopkins, Watt, might as well get the whole set. There are so few opportunities in the NFL to go from a great quarterback to a really great quarterback. And if that opportunity presents itself, you take it.
To be clear, that opportunity has not presented itself other than some wild speculation. Like, no one with any real legitimacy is proffering this as something that could really actually happen. Like, this is called NFL offseason nonsense that we must fill up this show with and other shows.
I just got to an aggregation website that somehow got access to our taping, and they just tweeted, Kyler Murray for Deshaun Watson, source. Mina Kimes, Pablo, and Dominique Foxworth. So it's out there. It's out there.
Wow. That would have been good if you did not deliver it with such a lack of confidence. Like, at the end, it was so, like, I was leaning forward, like, this is going to be a good joke. We can end the segment on this. And then you stumbled and petered out towards the
Dominique, finish. No, what you don't realize, Dominique, is that Mina is reflecting my new request to only be referred to by my first name on all media citations.
She did. I didn't even notice that. She gave our full name and then called you Pablo like Prince or something.
Yeah, that's right.
Let me walk you through my process here. Dominique's like poo-pooing the idea as being fake. And one part of my brain is like, here's the joke, aggregation website. But my mouth is over here and like they didn't really meet.
Oh, Mina, why'd you explain that to us? We watched it.
What you're saying is that your brain didn't communicate well with your mouth.
Up next on HQ.
I went through the draft process. They asked me who was the best receiver I played against. I thought of the best game I had. And was like, you know what? The best receiver I played against was at the Citadel.
Highly Questionable is brought to you by Disney's Raya and the Last Dragon. In theaters, so order it on Disney Plus with Premier Access now. Do you question if this says more about Mac Jones or Tua?
So I'm glad we have a very real football debate here, because everybody is asking, why are two teammates now like somehow in opposition to each other, even though they were teammates and there is no actual opposition between them? Let's watch.
Article last week that said when Devontae Smith was in Mobile and he was talking to all the team, someone asked him, hey, who'd you prefer? Tua or Mac? And he allegedly went, oh, Mac. Can I ask you the same question?
Andrew!
I like Mac Jones, too. I like Mac Jones. Just my preference.
Beat around the bush there.
Quarterback, but I love Mac. He was the guy that I came in with, and from day one, we was on the third team together, and we worked our way up. Mac.
So Tua is being dragged into a conversation to be dragged by the participants in the conversation simply because I think in Devontae Smith and Jaylen Waddle, you have two guys who are basically just giving credit to the guy who's just about to get them super paid and also the guy who's about to be chosen by an NFL team. Yeah. So that would be the logic here. But if I'm Tua, I am feeling pretty hurt that this is now a debate.
Is it a debate? I don't think it's a debate. I don't think it's a thing. I'm going to continue being honest with our audience about this. So, of course, Devontae Smith picks Mac. He just won the Heisman. And,
yes,
of course, everyone who's going through this process lies. Like, I went through the draft process. They asked me who was the best receiver I played against. I thought of the best game I had. And I was like, you know what? The best receiver I played against was at the Citadel. Go check that out.
Like, the Citadel, he says.
It pays them no value by saying, you know what? I go with Tua. It doesn't help out Tua. It doesn't help out them. It doesn't help out Mac. All you do in this situation is boost your teammates. Who's the best receiver you ever played against? My best friend, Steve Suter, who I practice against every day and you didn't even have on your draft seat. Look him up, coaches. Draft him. Like, that's what I did during the process. So this is all nonsense.
I think you're right. I think this is all about the impending draft, and also recency bias is playing a major role. Similarly, for example, if I was asked after this taping, Mina, who do you like doing highly questionable with better, Pablo Torre or Dominique Foxworth? I would say Pablo Torre, because Dominique's been kind of mean to me today.
Thank you. I agree.
Oh, no, I would say Pablo, too, because I don't need the help.
Wow.
Tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern, Seton Hall and St. John's.
So I don't know what the deal is with that game, but I do know that Seton Hall has a player who transferred in from Harvard named Bryce Aiken, who had an amazing streak of free throws sunk. Let's watch what happened.
Top was good, but I think the official called it on the body.
I ain't never missing.
His first miss right after he hit the never been more right.
To me, that feels like actual brilliant gamesmanship from Bryce Aiken, because now we're actually acknowledging, hey, he had an amazing streak of made free throws, and we wouldn't have done that if he hadn't missed and obviously tooted his horn so loudly that people were deafened by it. Dominique, are you intrigued?
Well, that is quite a reach to cover for your Harvard buddy, because we also would have paid attention if he would have just hit like 30 more in a row. Like, and we're not really celebrating him in this moment. I respect the arrogance and the trash talk. I just don't like that he doesn't finish it. But I think that we come down hard on guys like this when things go wrong, which discourages guys from doing the eyes closed Jordan free throw. Like, this is a cousin to that. You have to have moments like this if you're going to have those type of moments. So I celebrate Harvard Bryce, even though he's at Seton Hall now.
Dominique, stop running from your own Harvard heritage. Mina Kimes, are you intrigued?
Not intrigued by the basketball. I am intrigued by the fact that minutes ago, Pablo made fun of J.J. Watt for ignoring his social media feedback, and then immediately went on to cite Harvard, to actually use the phrase Harvard heritage in the next segment.
Heritage, not hate.
Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, Texas Tech and Baylor.
So these are two top 25 teams. Baylor in particular is really great. Texas Tech is number 18 right now, and they have this player, this guy I did not know about, but who is awesome. Let's watch him. Against Iowa State, his name is Ty Larson, and he's the guy on the floor taking that charge. He's like, you know, one of these sort of manager types who gets called into a game and has one opportunity, one shining moment, if you will, to do something. And he did that. And on some level, I feel like know yourself, know your possibilities. And he did exactly what he is qualified to do. So I'm in. Dominique, are you?
I am not intrigued or in. I'm going to use this as an opportunity to continue my fight against those who hated Anthony Edwards' dunk because it was only worth 2 points. That charge is still a charge. It's just a foul. Doesn't matter that it's at the end of a blowout. Doesn't matter that he was a student manager. Don't celebrate it. I just assume that the people who hate Anthony Edwards' dunk because it's only worth 2 points, or hate the celebration of it because it's only worth 2 points, are all up and excited about this manager getting on the floor and falling down for a foul. Yes, I created a straw man, but that's fine. That's what I do. That is the business. It is the business. Learn it.
Constructed a straw man, then lit it on fire, and then danced as its flames burned. Mina, are you intrigued?
I'm struggling with this because Dominique just 8-miled me by pointing out that his argument was specious, and the whole time he was making it, I was prepared to dunk on him a la Anthony Edwards, who I do support despite being one of the nerds, and yet here we are, and I have nothing left to say. So mission accomplished, Dominique.
It is Friday afternoon. This has been highly questionable. That is Dominique Foxworth. He is a wildly talented, handsome man that I would take number two in a draft of HQ panelists, right behind Mina Kimes, who is, yeah, I guess, yeah, yeah.
She's good.
Yeah,
you can't, it's awkward now.
Oh, man.
Yeah. You really painted yourself into a
I wanted to
insult. At least I wouldn't be taking number three. Clearly, we know who's getting taken number three.